A podcast that shines a light on the positive, healthy, hopeful projects going on in Humboldt County. We'll talk about things that are happening to help everyone live a better life and what things you can do in your corner of the world. Look, we know about the problems. We talk about them, read about them in the news, and see it every day too. That's what drives us to want better and to be part of the good. My name is Juliette Ferry, and I will be your host of the Humboldt Healthcast, which is another community project of the Humboldt IPA here in Eureka. Today on Humboldt Healthcast, we are talking about gardening and a lot of different ways to take part in gardening. Before we get started with the interviews, I'd like to ask your help for a future episode, which will include clips from you, the audience. If you'd like to take part, please call in to 707-382-4226 and leave a message with the advice you would give to your younger self. Thanks. So back to this episode, we start with a conversation with Kristen Edwards, who is a nurse at the Humboldt IPA. So this episode is about gardening, and I want to be a better gardener. I'm just not, and it's actually hurts my soul to admit that because I want to be a better gardener. So how can you suggest, because you're such a great gardener, and we'll talk about the garden that you started at the Priority Care Center, but how can I become a better gardener?
I do remember having conversations with you probably about a year ago when we were talking about how we wanted to establish a community garden at our clinic, the Priority Care Center. And you were like, yeah, this is not one of my strengths. And I remember that. And it's been super fun to have you be a part of that project. And I see budding strengths in you.
Thank you.
But, when I garden, my hope is to enhance the environment and not harm it. So I use simple old fashioned methods, to cultivate healthy, flavorful, and, hopefully, you know, inspire me to eat more vegetables that are grown right on my property. For me, I've always learned by talking to people and talking to friends and neighbors, and then also the farmers at farmers market for tips about what works for them. And that's how I've learned everything that I know. So I love spending time with friends in the garden, often having lunch or dinner outside or you know, drinks in the garden. I have a table in the garden, so that kind of inspires us to sit and spend some actual time. And also, I've recently strung some lights up in the garden. You see them everywhere. They're at Costco, so you can also have nighttime gatherings in your garden. And this has been great, especially during this time for physical distancing, because I want to be able to share a meal. So I prepare everything inside and then bring it out to the garden, and then we often share a meal in the garden, and you know, I send people home with fresh vegetables as well. And we always wind up talking about the garden and sharing tips and different recipes. And that's been really fun to do in this last year. Some things that I've learned to be helpful and how I feel like I've become a better gardener is by using raised beds that are close to the kitchen. So, you know, it might not be the perfect area where you want your garden to be, but I firmly believe in having your garden as close to the kitchen as possible. It's just necessary for easy access and to run out in the rain and grab some veggies and bring them back in the house. Raised beds also provide really good drainage. And, you know, we get a lot of rain here, obviously. And so that's, it provides greater productivity, and it also extends the growing season because the soil in the raised bed definitely heats up earlier than, like, say, just the ground soil does.
Okay, that's good to know.
And another thing is just to plant in succession. Like once, you know, you've planted something and it's exhausted, pull it up and plant a new one. Mm. So, you know, as a new gardener, you know, maybe just buying 6 packs at a time is the way to go. And that way it facilitates you going out to the garden store or to farmer's market and having some more conversations with people. And also recognizing what grows well in Humboldt County, you know, by going out and buying your own 6 packs. Unfortunately, that can get to be costly. So buying packages of seeds or actually saving seeds can definitely help with cost. And, you know, planting your own seeds, things basic like lettuce and kale and chard, some things that, you know, grow pretty easily year round so that you already have some, you have stuff year round.
That's a great, like, those are all great suggestions, because as someone who doesn't garden very well, I often feel intimidated to talk to people because I don't want to let them know, quite honestly, that I'm not a very good gardener. But it's like, that's silly. Like, how would I get better if I'm not talking to people? And honestly, you know, at the farmer's market, when I've bought, plants or, you know, flowers, really, just asking them, like, what is the conditions? Like, you know, what's the kill rate on this? Like, you know, I just bought a hyacinth the other day at the farmer's market. And this guy said, you will not kill this. He's like, if I haven't killed it, you won't kill it. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So that is encouraging. And then I do really like that, like, when it's grown and you, it's dead or it's like done providing, like just pull it out and do something else. Like you don't need, it's not these hard and fast rules. That's helpful. That's helpful. I feel already like a better gardener, Kristen.
I feel like I know exactly who you brought the hyacinth from, because I was at the farmer's market and I was walking by and there's this gentleman, smell for free, yes. Smell for free. And all these people were like, free? What? And they're like, oh, smelling this beautiful hyacinth. Yes, it is. It's free and it's lovely.
He got me. He got me with that.
Oh, they're wonderful. And, you know, they grow back every year. So put it in a pot that you remember, you know, that you planted a hyacinth in there, and they'll grow back just as beautiful every year.
What do you like about, like, why do you like gardening?
I love gardening because I love, you know, eating well. And, you know, as you would always say, good food is the key to good health. And I love cooking. And so having access to really nutritious, fresh produce is amazing. And I swear you can turn anybody on to vegetables if they're eating out of the garden, and, you know, simple recipes. And, you know, if you experiment with what you grow your own, you know, say you have extra and you're putting in the refrigerator. I mean, it's amazing how long it lasts versus going and buying a head of lettuce, even an organic head of lettuce at the co-op. Like, you know, it's not going to last that long because it was harvested usually, you know, who knows when, but yeah, you know, a lot longer than when you just picked it fresh from your garden.
Right.
And there's just something really satisfying about, you know, growing your own and eating your own. I mean, there's just that deep connection with your food, which, you know, I think is really important.
What are some of the, you had mentioned some like lettuce and kale, like what would you suggest as starter plants, like for someone like me, for example?
You know, it's definitely based on the season. And in case anyone was curious, we're zone 9. So that is a USDA rating that indicates that we have a longer growing season, which means that it's easier, a lot easier to grow a lot of plants here. I think the first thing to do is like take a tour of farmer's market or take a tour of your friend's garden or community garden and see what is growing and what, you know, is easy to grow in Humboldt County. But yeah, I would definitely start with lettuce, kale, chard. Those are pretty foolproof, not a lot of difficulty or an issue with pests. Some of the brassicaceae, some of like the broccoli and the cabbage, they can, or Brussels sprouts, those kinds of plants can attract aphids. But there are ways, natural ways to deter you know, your plants from being succumbing to pests. But I would definitely start with things that you love to eat. Like, do you, you know, your family, I think most people can appreciate lettuce. Most people can appreciate kale and chard, especially if it's prepared correctly, which there are a gazillion recipes out there that I think would even, you know, turn over a person who absolutely says they will not eat these things. I think they'd be pleasantly surprised. There's, you know, so many preparations to make these extremely palatable, with little effort.
Yeah. That is a great suggestion of like, start with what you like and then, you know, look around and then see, you know, kind of just be open to, like you said, go to the local gardens, you know, farmer's market or the community gardens and just see what grows and what catches your eye.
Yeah. And, sugar snap peas, those are super easy and a great thing for people to start with. And, you know, I don't really know anyone that doesn't like them. They're super sweet and crunchy and, you know, satisfying in so many different ways. And it's a great vegetable to start kids with too, because the plants are fun and, you know, you can grow them up on some kind of trellis or fence. And the more you pick, the more it produces. So it's kind of fun to, you know, get kids out there and really, really harvesting as many of, you know, the snap peas as they can, because, you know, you'll have more before you know it.
What would you say, taking kind of like a sidestep, this podcast, our tagline is be part of the good. So what are your thoughts? Like, how are gardens part of the good?
Well, I think, you know, everyone benefits from being in that garden. And even if it's not your own garden, if it's a community garden or a friend's garden, that you get a chance to experience that space and potentially lend a hand, volunteer, pull some weeds, do some watering, and then get to bring home, you know, produce to your household to feed yourself and feed your family. And, you know, I don't think there's anything about that equation that doesn't make you feel good and connected with not only the food that you're eating, but, you know, the people that are in that environment. And I can't ever say that I've had a poor interaction with anyone in that environment. Like, there's always something to take home, even if it's super quirky or, you know, someone has this, you know, wild idea of how to compost, or, you know, everyone's got their unique ideas and tips for gardening. But I feel like there's just nothing but positivity that can come out of those experiences and, you know, growth, and you take home tips. And I think that's part of the reason why, we were inspired to start a community garden at the Priority Care Center, is to have a space where people could come together, not only our own team and our own staff, but for patients to be able to, when they're waiting for an appointment, spend time in the garden, or after an appointment, spend some time in the garden, digesting whatever news that appointment has brought them. And, you know, as we all know, oftentimes we're waiting for a little bit to see our provider. Right. So it's a nice place to go and wait and, you know, see what's growing. And we, you know, this is new for us, so we're still developing how we want to get more people involved. But I think part of our vision is our patients being more involved in the actual gardening and harvesting. And, you know, having sort of a free farmer's market where things are harvested and ready to go. So when you have an appointment, you can pick what you want, take it with you, and then hopefully have some inspiring recipes that go along with that, so that we can get people eating more plant-based, healthy, organic diets.
Yeah, that would just, we had, thank you for all that. That was just like, and it's just like your vision of our garden has always been so inspiring of like, because I always come from a place of like, I just want to start at the end. Like, that's always how my mind works. And so I always have to check on that, because it's not helpful. It's not helpful from like a positive self-talk in my mind place. And so I get frustrated when to start small. And yet it's like, that's how we start. We start small and then we build on that. And so even just, I was saying it the other day when we were there for our work party that you had graciously organized, that it just was like so fun to be a part of it, because as I've said a number of times, I'm not a great gardener. So I would have no idea what to do and where to start. So to have you kind of be like our leader and our mentor, and it's just like, here, you could do this. Like, this needs to get done. Would you like to do that? And it's like, yes. And then we all were laughing and telling stories, and it just feels good to get your hands in the dirt. And it's just like last year when the pandemic started, I just have containers in the back. And it was just so great on a work break, you know, or lunch, to just go out and putz a little bit in the garden and like prune this and move the snails. And, you know, it's just, I just want more of that. So thank you for that. What would you say? I think we did touch on a bunch of it, but simple ways for people to garden in whatever space they may have.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. It makes my heart happy to know that, you know, we all came out of that garden party, you know, a little bit lighter on our feet and planted a really beautiful garden. So, that was a sweet day for sure. But yeah, anybody can plant vegetables and herbs. And I always want to point out that don't forget about the herbs, because the herbs are so important in creating, you know, really luxurious meals. Fresh herbs, just, yeah, you can't go wrong with that. So, but yeah, plant vegetables and herbs in pots or other containers. And, you know, you only need a small space to do that. Most plants do like a lot of sun, so try to pick a place, you know, where, you know, in your yard or your porch, you know, try to plan accordingly to get your plants the most sun that you possibly can. And the size of container is important. You can pick the container based on how big of, you know, the plant that you want to put in it. But small pots, like 3 to 6 inches, can grow plants like herbs and lettuce. And, you know, easy things, herbs to grow are rosemary, thyme, oregano, chives. Those grow all year long and require very little maintenance. Medium pots, 8 to 10 inches wide, you can put a few plants in. So, and then large pots, 12 inches or larger, can be great for tomatoes, squash, cucumbers, and then sugar snap peas, you know, something that requires a little more space. But any type of container can work to grow vegetables, as long as there are some drainage holes. And you know, if you don't have drainage holes already, you know, you're using plastic, if that's the only thing that you have, just go ahead and poke some holes in there. But you can use terracotta pots, look really nice and are pretty inexpensive. You can use wooden, ceramic. These are types of things that are going to last for a while. So if you want to, you know, continue a kind of container kitchen garden, use something that might last for a little bit longer than, like, you know, they have the cardboard, or I'm not exactly sure, fiber core. Those are going to compost pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But you want to use potting soil also. So you want to use a soil mixture that already has compost and sand and mulch that's already mixed in it. That way the soil doesn't get too compacted. And with containers, it's great because you don't have to worry about weeds. There's usually less pests, and you can always bring them indoors if you want to. Some people have peppers outdoors in the summer and then bring them in, mm-hmm. in the wintertime. And, you know, you can keep these plants alive in your house in a sunny window. You can try window boxes or hanging baskets, but you can also look in your area for community gardens in your neighborhood, at your clinic. The Priority Care Center has one, where people can go and share small, you know, plots of land, or, you know, help volunteer on what's already there, and get to cultivate some crops. And this is also good for beginning gardeners, because there's a chance, that other people are there and that you can ask questions and share ideas. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's just like very inspiring that it's like, it just start, you know, just pick anything, you know, whether it's flowers or herbs or vegetables or whatever, like just pick something or multiple things, and it doesn't need to be this big deal.
One thing I wanted to round back on was, you know, going to farmers market and being shy about asking questions, or because you feel like your knowledge base is, you know, so much beneath their knowledge base. And I've actually asked farmers this. I've actually said, so what's it like on a Saturday when you've answered the question 50 times? Because this person asked you the same, you know, different people ask you the same question. And they said, you know, to foster people's interest in eating organic produce is always an interesting conversation for them. And you know, as long as the person seems interested and receptive to the information, they're not just asking the question and not really listening to the answer. Yeah. But as long as the person is receptive and interested, they love sharing that kind of information.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Kristen. Is there anything else that you would like to impart on our listeners?
Eat your veggies.
I love it. That's a good, concise, solid piece of advice.
Yeah. Try, you know, I mean, now there's, you know, there's a lot of movement for people who are at least eating one meal a day that's completely plant-based. And I think that's an easy thing. Well, I think that's a great place to start.
Yeah. Right. It's different for all of us, but it is pretty solid and a great place to start of even if it's just one a week, you know, one meal a week, like meatless Mondays, whatever, you know, it's like, just start getting your head around plant-based eating. Okay. Yeah. Well, awesome. Thanks, Kristen. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your just knowledge of gardening, your passion for it, and then helping us, for people that feel insecure about our gardening knowledge and experience, that you just make you make me feel very welcome in the garden, and that I can always just like ask you or help or whatever. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It was lovely to talk to you.
Kristen mentioned checking out a farmer's market or a community garden to see what you like, and I spoke with Farmer Jess at the Bayside Park Farm in Arcata to see what was going on there. When we joined the conversation, Jess is telling us about the CSA, or Community Supported Agriculture Program, they have there.
Yeah, so you just like pay a set amount at the beginning, and it super helps farmers when they don't have a bunch of crops already there and they don't have an income to help them to get started. And basically, you can sign up now for this farm, and it starts in June and it goes through the end of October. So it's actually a really good deal. And you're kind of investing in a chunk of money in the beginning, but then you get a box of veggies like every week for through the summer into the fall. And it ends up being, for our farm share, is $500. And it's a really good deal. It's only about 20 something a week that it ends up being. And that's like for basically a family, or if like it's just you, you could like split it with another person and get like a split farm share.
Yeah, I've had a personal goal of years to get a CSA and just never get around to it or procrastination for a multitude of years. And so then when we were doing this episode and I was looking for a phone number to contact someone at the farm, I was like, I'm just going to do it. Like, it's right here. I'm just going to do it. And so I have signed up for my first CSA share at the Bayside Park Farm.
Yay. That's awesome.
yeah. So what can I know from talking with friends, and I know the ideas of it, but it's like, what can I expect? You know, I pick up my farm share. Do I pick it up at the farm?
Yeah. So that's the cool thing about it, is just like getting to have the experience of visiting the farm. So it's really great just getting to like see the farm throughout the season and how it changes, and then plan on having like a nice like flower garden so people can do like you pick flower bouquets when they come, so they can kind of interact with the farm a little bit too in that way.
That's so nice. Just to, like you said, you know, that's the whole thing about eating seasonally, is like your box is going to change as the season progresses. And then that's so awesome to have a flower garden and just be part of the garden.
Yeah, totally. And so typically like the CSA like veggie variety and amount will be a little lighter in the beginning, and it just keeps increasing. So
right. And tell me a little bit more about that volunteer program, please.
Yeah, so it's kind of set up like in three different sessions, kind of like about like 2 months long, kind of like an internship, but we're just calling it like a volunteer program just because of logistics. And you can, anyone that's interested can go on the city website and find out information to get an application. But it's really cool just for people that are interested in learning more about small scale organic farming. And just it's about like committing at least one chunk of time a week, 3 hours, or you could do the two chunks of 3 hours. And so the first one will be like spring, like April through like June. And that's a lot of like seeding and transplanting and planting, like a lot of that. And then the summer is a lot more like getting into like harvesting. So yeah, it's like each one is a little bit different and you learn like different things, but it's just like, there's just so many things that go into a farm. And this farm actually has a long history of being educational and community based. So I just really want to like continue that, because I actually interned on this farm, volunteer interned when I was in college at HSU. Mm-hmm. And it's what got me into farming. And that was in 2013.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've been doing that. Yeah. And that's what I've been doing ever since. So it's kind of, it's cool to be able to provide that for other people.
Great. Well, thanks for your time, and thanks for being a farmer, and thanks for helping the rest of us who are not such great farmers get some fresh produce.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I love being a farmer. It's a labor of love, for sure. Thank you.
We've talked about personal gardening, our clinic's garden, a large established community garden, and now we'll hear from Karina Coronado from Comida del Pueblo about another community garden project in Arcata.
Centro del Pueblo is happy to declare that the community garden in the corner of F and 11th Street on Wiat territory, Arcata, is a sanctuary. The city of Arcata was declared a sanctuary in 2016. Humboldt County voted in 2018 to declare the county a sanctuary for immigrants. The sanctuary law was created to generate ties of trust, respect, and diversity within the immigrant community and the authorities. So this is really important for Centro del Pueblo and Cooperation Humboldt and really everyone getting involved. This garden that I'm mentioning on F and 11th in Arcata was previously managed by Open Door Community Health Services, and now we're kind of taking a little bit of a lead on it as they're focusing on, Open Doors focusing on the other gardens they have throughout the county. So really excited to kind of expand this garden in Arcata and focusing a little bit more on the Spanish-speaking and immigrant community.
That's so awesome. It's so exciting. What are kind of your hopes for this garden? Who is it going to feed? Who can take part in it? How will it all go?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of possibilities as we're just getting started right now. You know, it's been like a month or two, you know, spring's coming. And, you know, like I mentioned, we're really focusing, at least for Centro del Pueblo on my side, is to share access with folks who previously didn't have it. Specifically, just like the language barrier of Spanish here in the county. You know, that makes up a large portion of our population here. And being able to have more Spanish-speaking folks and having a space where immigrants feel safe and welcome to be there is definitely huge here for that garden. And it's really open to everyone as well. That's kind of where I'm coming from, just with my experience and background in regards to like just the Spanish-speaking immigrant community, indigenous people of the South. So we're going to be participating in these weekly, you know, small garden work days given following just COVID safety guidelines. And the food is going to go to, you know, these families that I mentioned, as well as volunteers who may come by from the general community, general, probably weekly, depending on just like the general production. And in the peak season, we'd be distributing mostly among the families who were participating, as well as we've had talks about having like a little farm stand, maybe like once a week or once a month, where it's a little bit more open for everyone, even just like passerbyers to get, you know, a couple of greens.
Yeah, that's great. I remember years ago when it was through Open Door volunteering at that garden, and it was just, and I did leave with like, I can't even remember, probably some greens or something, but it just felt so great to be part of, you know, I'm helping out, I'm in the garden, I don't have a garden of my own. And so at the time it was just like, so great to just be around other people. Working in a garden, like, just always is so great for the soul. And then even better, like, left with some food. So it's just like, I love that space. Cause actually when I drive by, I'm always curious, like, is someone taking that over? You know, now I know for sure that that you guys are, but at the time it was like, gosh, that's such a great idea right there in town. That, you know, it's awesome that that's coming back. How is this garden going to be part of the good?
I think one, you know, one obvious way to like see it as well is like, you know, the garden is being occupied, and it's the garden is being, you know, having a presence just with different community members, different languages are being spoken, you know, different seeds are being sown. I think that's really important. I think one of the, for instance, this last Saturday, we had a community member, you know, her and her husband and two kids, they came in, a family that we invited, and they said they've never been in the garden, you know. So that's, to me, that, you know, really, really melted my heart, because, you know, I had no idea, you know. You know, I had an idea for sure. I've definitely heard those stories. You know, I had never been to a garden like that until coming to Humboldt County, you know. I'm, you know, somebody from Southern California, so I can definitely, like, relate to that. But seeing our efforts kind of, you know, have this already, like, in, you know, the second workday, they're kind of making that impact, you know. The little girls were, you know, picking flowers. They were a little scared of the bees, but, you know, I definitely saw them getting more comfortable towards the end. So I think just that general exposure is crucial, and like, you know, how we're talking about earlier, just that access, right? You know, it's these families who don't always feel comfortable to go to public spaces like that, you know, a fear of, you know, having the cops called on them, fear of getting profiled, you know, and having negative comments like thrown at them, you know, for no reason. So having a space where they feel comfortable to come out and feel safe and not feel threatened out, you know, working with soil. That's just really immense, and doing it one family at a time to families who, you know, wouldn't have seen, how we're saying, just like a Facebook post or an Instagram post, you know. So that's huge. As well as we do have a couple of seeds that we are planning to sow that are, you know, just like cultural crops for a lot of the families. You know, plants like epazote or papalo, those are, you know, plants that just are used very commonly in southern Mexico, and a lot of the families, you know, don't have access to these, you know, traditional and cultural herbs and vegetables. So having a space where they don't have to, you know, buy it at such a high price, but rather, you know, be a part of tending to it, and harvesting and sharing it among, you know, their neighbors and family. That's something that there wasn't that access, that connection, that possibility here, right? Because a lot of times coming into the States as an immigrant, there's that sense of want, like stripping your identity, right? Like just kind of assimilating. So having a place where they can plant cultural plants and have that, you know, not be at such a high price, really makes a difference in just the general diet that we kind of carry on. So that's a big thing that's kind of really aiding in just cultural, just adding more richness to that culture that already exists, you know, and is here, and, you know, is here to stay.
That is just so beautiful. The story of the family and, like, different languages and the signages and hearing different things. Like for, you know, it's like hearing different things and seeing people that look different than you. And it's just like, this is what our, that's what community means. And so to really, it's just like such a beautiful way to express that in the garden. And like everything that you're saying, like sowing the seeds, it's like literal and figurative as well. And then it's just like having a presence in the community. It's just such a great, we'll put that Nature's Path on our Facebook page and like at the end of the resources for the podcast. But that is just like, you know, going towards like equality and like community and belonging and, you know, celebrating all those things is just so beautiful. Thank you. That was a beautiful explanation of all of that. I appreciate that. Thank you. In your opinion, what can one person do to kind of better their own part of the world?
It's a huge question. I think one thing, you know, we can all do and in the process of always doing is, I think, recognizing and kind of accepting ourselves for, like, you know, who we are and, like, what we can offer and, like, what we're, like, growing to be, like, what we've been. I think that's that type of self-reflection is major, right? Because then that really transcends into, like, the rest of the community, right? That sense of identity, you know, that sense of culture, that sense of belonging. Having that and being secure in that, you know, speaks volumes when it comes to just the current world that we live in, where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of confusion around, like, you know, for instance, like, are we, like, for the vaccine? Are we not? Like, are we for, like, organic food? Are we not? Like, whatever it is, you know, having that strong stance enables you to, or not even a strong stance, but just having, you know, an informed position on something that really matters and affects all of us, really enables us to be better community members, right? Being able, it allows us to be more available to listen to our neighbors and our community, and also to ourselves, right? I think just caring for yourself is really important, as that kind of is in relation to the rest of the community and how we can, you know, better respond and take action together.
Yeah, I agree. Just like knowing ourselves, being comfortable in ourselves and like those uncomfortable things about ourselves, being aware of those as well. And then being informed, talking with other people, because that's a matter of, if you're really trying to have a conversation with someone, you're open to their point of view. You're not trying to always sway them to your side. It's like being curious and keeping an open mind. And, you know, you're having a conversation because you want to learn. I know everything I know, but I, you know what I mean? That's as much as I know. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm never going to learn if I just need everyone to think my way. It's like, I need to be open to other people's opinions and open to that there's a lot of different things going out there than just my way.
If people are interested, definitely reach out to us. I would say probably the Cooperation Humble Instagram or Facebook would be a great way. I know people have been reaching out and we're kind of just making a list of people who are interested. And then when we have like a bigger work day or, you know, rotating work days, I think the plan is to kind of like rotate volunteers. So yeah, definitely please reach out if you're interested, or just come by anytime, like during the week, and kind of check it out yourself, respectfully. And that's where we're at right now. Yeah.
As always, thanks for listening. And if you'd like to take part in a future episode, please call in to 707-382-4226 and leave a message with the advice you would give to your younger self. Thank you. The Priority Care Center is located on Harrison Ave in Eureka, and we provide primary care, mental health counseling, care coordination, wellness coaching to people with the following insurance types: Anthem PPO, Blue Shield HMO, Anthem Blue Cross HMO, and Blue Lake Rancheria. Thank you for listening to Humboldt HealthCast. brought to you ad-free by the Humble Independent Practice Association. Our host is me, Juliette Ferry. Our editor is Joseph Burkett. Original music created by Justin Locke. Our producers are Irina Essez, Jessica Osborne Staffness, and Vanessa Verdiak. Special thanks to Rosemary Denouten for making this project possible. Please share, subscribe, rate, and comment. We are always looking to improve and welcome your feedback. Be part of the good, Humboldt.